Hey everyone, welcome to episode 31 of Student Radio Stories. This episode is a takeover episode from Sound Radio alumni Danny Cowsell, who was the head of Sound Radio when I first joined the society in the second semester of my first year, so at the beginning of 2019. Danny has also been the South Regional Officer and the Development Officer for the Student Radio Association. Danny is now working as part of the sales team at Global. Let's hear more from Danny about his student radio journey, his work in the radio industry, and the advice he has given from his experiences in student radio and beyond.
Hi, my name is Danny Cowsell. I was part of Sound Radio at the University of Winchester for 4 years. For three of those years, I was running the radio station there. For my first of the 3 years was as just station manager. And then the second two of those 3 years was as head of the media society there, where I looked after the print side as well as the television side. However, radio was the main of the three. And so I spent a lot of time working on that. I was also part of the Student Radio Association. I was regional officer for the South in my fourth year at uni, and then I became development officer the year after as part of the exec, which ended in this summer of 2020. When I kind of started at the station, I wanted to be a presenter. That was what I went in for. There was no like producer roles or anything at the time when I started at Sound. It was very much a, do you want to do a radio show, yes or no? I did it with a friend of mine that lived in the flat opposite me. We both were like, oh yeah, let's do the radio and we'll do it together. And so me and Victoria Quinn, that's who it was, we went in and we did a show together for pretty much two and a bit years. And yeah, it was super, super fun. I kind of got into production as well, obviously being the head of the station and in the management role and management structure of the station, you end up doing a lot of production stuff. And I kind of found a lot of the audio production a lot more fun to kind of really get involved with and hands-on and creative. Presenting was always great and fun, but the audio production was really kind of cool. Aside from student radio, I also did a bit of community radio stuff in Southampton with Voice FM. I did that with Ben Winter, who was part of Solent University's Radio Sonar. He was the station manager there for a year, but also on the SRA committee. And yeah, my background in radio, it really did start there at university. I'd been involved with radio stations beforehand, and always kind of enjoyed like being part of the local radio station and going to the local radio events and stuff that they'd put on. But I'd never been on air as such until I went to university, so that was really cool. Currently, though, I now work at Global in Leicester Square, Global Media and Entertainment. I'm part of the sales team there, and so I work on the advertising for airtime, predominantly working in with the government kind of contracts and stuff. So if you hear a coronavirus ad or get into teaching ad or something like that when you're listening to Capital or Heart, then I've pretty much been involved with putting that on the air, which is really cool. The way I kind of got into radio in the first place, especially student radio, was actually started when I was doing... I was looking at universities and going to open days, and I was looking at two universities, and the two universities was the University of Winchester and Canterbury Christchurch. And the first of the two open days was at Canterbury. So I went along there and I was looking, and I was doing a history degree. I knew I wanted to do history as that was fun. And I was quite, you know, I felt I was quite good at it, but radio wasn't really a thing that I thought about. But being at Canterbury, you got to see the stalls of the extracurricular stuff that was going on. And one of those things was the radio station there, CSR. And it's an FM community station there that is basically a joint venture between both Canterbury Christchurch and the University of Kent. They broadcast on FM, and it just looked, and the branding was really cool. It drew me in, and they were like, yeah, you come to the uni, you could be part of the radio station. And that was like, that is so cool. And honestly, it ticked a massive box for me straight away, and I didn't even realise it when I was going to the open day. And there was this, you know, radio station. I was like, I kind of want to go to this uni just for the radio station. That should have rung alarm bells quite early on to say, maybe I should do, you know, a radio-related course instead of history, but no, it didn't. But then when I went to the University of Winchester and did the open day, I didn't see anything about a radio station. So I just asked when I was at the SU, I was like, do you guys have a radio? And they were like, yeah, we do. You can absolutely get involved with it. I was like, great. And then I was just simply picking between the two universities at that point. And I thought University of Winchester was a better uni. sorry, Canterbury. But that was kind of my choice. I rocked up, and Sound Radio was nothing like CSR. It was not an FM community station. It was not, you know, high budget or high branding or anything like that. It was very much a, we broadcast out of the spare room in the multimedia centre, that is literally, it's like a corridor. It's so thin, but it was only tiny as well, that two chairs could fit in there, and the desk side by side, not opposite each other, side by side. And that was it. But you got to go on there and you got to play your songs and you got to go on the radio. And I was like, this is so cool. Like I said before, when you start at a university and you do freshers and you meet people, you get chatting to the people in your flat and you get chatting to the people in the flats nearby. And I was on a floor, there was just my flat and another flat, eight people in each one. And there was a girl across in the other flat called Victoria. And we, you know, got chatting and, you know, we became friends there and said about, oh yeah, I want to do the radio station. And she was like, oh yeah, me too. I'm doing a journalism course and I want to kind of get into radio and that would be really cool to do. I was like, great, well, let's do it together. Let's do a show together. So we went along. We signed up at Freshers' Fair. I managed to find it. That was my sole goal at Freshers' Fair, to find the radio station. And I signed up, found Victoria. I was like, go sign up. It's down there in the vault. Go sign up. So she did, and she found it then. We signed up, went along, and met the committee at the time. And the head of the radio then, Tali, who has now become a good friend of mine. And yeah, we was like, right, this is it. This is the radio station. You get to go on. You get to do your shows. You get to, if you want to do on your own, you can. If you want to do it with people, you can. Write down when you want to do it. And so me and Victoria, we went up. We did this show, Dan and Vic. It was great. And yeah, we just played songs. We did silly things. There was no kind of structure to it at all. It was so free to do. And I think that was quite a good thing as well, because it meant you get to just kind of practice around and do nothing. But the Sound Radio wasn't involved in the SRA or anything at that point, so there was no kind of extra stuff to do. It was just do your show, and there was no kind of experience or people to go back on. You couldn't look at other people and get ideas. It was very much you just got to kind of come up with your own thing. And it was then that I started doing a lot of audio production and creating jingles for the show, because I thought it'd be really cool to create jingles. I've been playing around with audio. I got Audacity way back when I was like 13 for the first time, because it was free, and I have always been into music and creative kind of stuff like that. And I used to make things like mashups. There's terrible ones on YouTube that I won't give links to because they're just embarrassing and out of time. But yeah, there's mashups, and I'd create different things with audio. And so I'd created some jingles for the show. And, you know, everyone was like, actually, Danny, these are really cool. Can we have some of our own? So I made some other people's ones as well, and then ended up becoming station manager the very next year when Tali had graduated. And so I became station manager. At the time, it was not station manager, it was just chair of the society. Victoria became vice chair, and we ran the station. Tali didn't graduate. He became the head of the media society, sorry. So it was me running the station with Victoria and Tali kind of just overlooking it all. He was more focused on like starting up the other societies and doing involved in SU stuff, whereas my attention was very much on the radio station. And it was then that we kind of discovered the SRA in my second year, and we were like, yeah, let's join it. So we did. And it was in, February, March time, that Tali came up to me and said, look, there's this conference that we want you to go to. It's not, you know, you don't have to go to if you don't want to, but it's a student radio conference. Would you be interested in going? And I was like, that sounds really cool. Conference all for student radio. Yeah, I'm up for it. And so off I went to Leicester for student radio conference. And it honestly, and I can say this with all honesty, it changed my life going to it. Beforehand, I didn't realise how big student radio was or could be. I'd only been, you know, exposed to it at a hyper-local level, in the sense of I'd only known, you know, CSR and Sound Radio, but I only knew the existence of CSR, not what they did or how they operated. I didn't know about any other stations in the country, and then all that, you know, I rock up, only person from my station there, when all these other stations have got, you know, 5, 10, 20 people. I remember the first talk. I got there way early, by the way. I got there, like, at 9 o'clock in the morning, because that's when I thought I was meant to get there. Got up super, super early. Got there at 9 for this trade fair that I got a little bit panicked about, because someone told me I needed to have a certain qualification to be on the radio. I was like, I don't have that qualification and it costs money. Turns out I didn't need it. But, I'm seeing all these people there and it's the first talk. And I just get talking to this group of people, these lovely people that turn out to be from Fly FM. And, you know, these are friends that I made afterwards as well. Like, these people that I ended up chatting to that first time. I remember seeing, I think it was Scarlett Chappelle that I was chatting to, and then Matt Lynch as well, I think was there. And we're just chatting and you know, all of a sudden it was like, there's so much there. And I'll never forget as well that conference as well, because I didn't know how radio worked. I remember sat in a talk and I asked, you know, a question that I thought was a legitimate question until I got, the room kind of giggled and everyone kind of looked and went, who's this kid? Up until that point, I thought presenters picked their own music. I didn't think, you know, that was ahead of music team, playlists teams, anything like that. I was always under the impression that the presenter goes on and picks the music that they wanted to on the radio. And it's not that that was not the case. And so I'd a room of students, people from Capital, some big bosses, and I asked the question, so how often do you get to pick your own music? When all of a sudden something twigged when I was like, wait, does that not mean that is? And they kind of looked and went, no, we don't get to. And it was like, what? You know, I've always thought that was a really embarrassing thing, but it kind of got me thinking from a personal standpoint as well about the training that we could offer and the training that should be offered to people is that, you know, not everyone knows what it's like to be in radio. And I guess that kind of started me on my SRA path. But it also kind of made me fall out of love with presenting a bit because I thought, you know, there's not as much freedom as, you know, you originally thought. You go in, you speak between the songs and, you know, get to do some fun games and stuff, but it just, you lose that part of the show. I've always been part of that creative side, the building side, and so production all of a sudden kind of lent its hand to me. And so, yeah, that was my kind of first interaction with the SRA, and from there, you know, I met the new regional officer for the South, Abby Brock, at that time, hosted a training day for the South, first training day that I'd been to, and I hosted it at Winchester, and I just kind of went on from there, which was a bit mental, really. You know, ended up meeting people just through being part of the SRA and doing SRA stuff. And, you know, I guess being enthusiastic as well. I remember at that conference, it was really embarrassing. I kind of went up to Abby afterwards and she was surrounded by a few people and I kind of recognised faces. One of them was the newly elected chair, Naomi. And I was like, hey, so this is my first time being at conference. This is so amazing. I'm really keen to get more involved in the SRA. I've been doing X, Y, and Z at Sound, and I want to, you know, do more. And genuinely, Naomi turned around and went, you're so enthusiastic. It's amazing. Which was really cool. But, you know, ended up working with Naomi on the same exec as her as well, which is just weird. But yeah, so it was a bit of a bit of a run to get there. And it kind of made me realise, you know, what I kind of want to go into and eventually is audio production. And then, you know, I think, you know, my current role is nothing to do with audio production. It's not to do with programming or anything like that. I work at Global on the sales floor. I, you know, plan the ads up. I get the, try and make sure that they put ads in the right places and, you know, help that and bring in money to the company. But I knew that I wanted to be in that area. And I can see exactly where I want to go with it as well. In that, you know, I started off wanting to do jingles and, you know, sweepers, all of a sudden, what about ads? I could go into ad production. And now working with ads, I think that's something that I would really be interested in going to. Or maybe working with, you know, the commercial teams in terms of sponsored content. And that's something really cool as well. And I think, you know, I think it's really important that whilst what you think about what you want to do at uni or maybe what you want to do in your first year, things will change. You'll learn things about the industry. You'll learn things about how things work and you'll be exposed to different areas that you didn't realise existed. And, you know, your mind will change, at least mine did. So I don't know where I'm going to end up in all honesty. I know what I like. I know I like the creative side. I know I like audio and I know I like to stay in radio. And I kind of feel like I'm on that path at the moment, which is really cool. What made me want to be part of the SRA committee? I was in a play at uni. I was in a Shakespeare play at the time, and I was getting involved in more student radio and stuff, and I just remember thinking about, you know, the South region and training days and stuff, and I knew that I like I said before, I knew I wanted to bring in more kind of training-y, you know, what people should be trained on, how we should train people within student radio, because it's really important to get that right, you know. People don't know everything, you can't assume that. And I wanted to do some cool things with the stations in the region as well. I'd made some good friendships, and I guess it was like, right, the SRA is something that can be really cool here. It can be a really good opportunity for people. And I found out, you know, the person that was running against me was a friend of mine at the time, was Robbie James. He'd been the region officer in Scotland, and he was moving down, actually, to the University of Winchester. You know, he's a good mate, and we did shows together on a community station in Portsmouth Express while I was producing him. And I did that for, you know, a few months and stuff. But, he, you know, I knew that he wanted to run for it, and he was going to run for it. And this was before we, you know, became good mates, but I had respect for him, and I called Abby, and I said, Abby, I'm not sure I want to run for this role, because I want what's best for the region, and if, you know, there's someone competent going for it, then I don't want to get in the way of that. And Abby said to me at that time, look, Danny, that's the reason that you should run for it, because you want the best for the region, and it's not to, you know, further your career or some, you know, people go into SRA for doing that, and, you know, fine, people can do that and have their motives, but for me at the time, I wanted to do, you know, I nearly didn't run for regional officer because I thought someone else was going to be competent enough to do it. And so, you know, that's always been my mantra with these kind of things. Everything I've done was always because I believed in the cause. And so that's why I ran for SRA in the first place in the South. And I didn't initially run for development officer. You know, it went to by-election because no one ran for it. But people talked to me and said, look, Danny, why aren't you running for development? I thought that'd be right up your street. And I went, I don't know, you know, I didn't think I was maybe the right person for it. Wasn't sure I had the right ideas. And I kind of just got talked around into it and said, look, you know, you've got these ideas and stuff. And I won't lie to you, like, you know, at the time when I ran, I had a few ideas. I knew what I wanted to do. I didn't have a full scope of what I wanted to do because I wasn't in the role. Once I was in the role, my God, ideas came flooding to me and of what we could do and things. And, you know, that was great. I was really gutted that conference couldn't happen because of, you know, coronavirus. Fun. But that's got to mention in a few of these interviews. But, I wanted to make a difference, make a change and teach and train the next group of people doing student radio because of how much fun I had, but also how much, you know, I wanted to learn and how much you could learn. I felt like it was being pigeonholed at times, the training. It was either you're going to be a presenter or you're going to be a producer, and that was it. And I was like, well, there's so much more that you can do and so many different roles that you could learn. People might do radio courses and so therefore not want to do more radio talks, but so many people don't. You know, I talk to friends all the time, so I've got like pals. You know, we talk in the SRA exec. You ask around like what courses people did, and they're not all radio related or even media related. You know, I did a history degree and I was on the exec. Pascal, who is the current operations and last year's operations, he did maths at uni before his master's. So, you know, it's. You just get people, you know, not always doing radio related courses and so wanting to learn more about the radio industry and you know, how to do radio itself. And that was something that I wanted to bring with the development side, but also bring the opportunities. So I got involved with the music network Scott Hastie runs in my third year. So after I'd, you know, been part of the SRA, I was like, look, this is a music network. This sounds really cool. I'm going to get involved in it. And I got to interview some of, you know, artists that I listened to, you know, the Wombats. I got to meet the Wombats, Frank Turner, who was from Winchester. And I didn't realise this when I started, you know, I first saw him at Reading before I even knew I wanted to go to Winchester as a uni. I got to interview him, Tom Grennan as well, which was really cool. And you just get to meet these people and it's like, this is so cool, these opportunities. I didn't think I wanted to go into music side of the business, and you know, I still don't, but I will cherish those opportunities. And I thought there's maybe opportunities there that could be given in other areas as well. I was always big into my sport, and I thought, well, let's look at, you know, is there potential ways that we can get sport involved? You know, sport and radio is a big deal. And that's why I really pushed for Sam Queck Samantha Queck, who is Five Live, for our digital conference, because I thought that would be such a good one, because, you know, it does bring an insight into a side of radio that people don't, not, you know, always think about. It's not just breakfast presenters and, you know, entertainment. It's not just specialist music. There's the talk radio side of things. But talk radio isn't just politics, which people think. You know, sport is such a big part of radio for a lot of people's lives. And I thought we could do more for that. So, you know, I kind of pushed for that. And, you know, the journalist and news side of things as well, there's always this kind of opportunity. So, that's why I wanted to get into the SRA at the end of the day. It was to give back, to give opportunities for people that I would have loved to have had. And it was fun to do that. That was the be all and end all for me. Where did my interest in radio begin? I think back to the first times I ever got involved with radio. I'd kind of mentioned before that, you know, I'd not really done much. And the first time I really did radio was at uni. But I'd had a history and, I'd been involved with radio stuff before that. So the earliest times I can think of was in secondary school. There was the local radio station, KLFM, in King's Lynn. I got involved in, you know, their West Norfolk's Got Talent show that they put on, a talent show, because, you know, I did a lot of singing as a kid. There's still a very cringeworthy video. If you want to watch that, please don't. It's on YouTube, not hard to find. But I got involved with, you know, the radio station there and stuff, and it was, you know, it was really cool and really fun, and I got to meet the breakfast presenter, Simon Rowe, which was amazing. My mum got involved in the station as well, just as one of the street team people. And even got to do a show with Simon as well, just through like competitions and stuff and meeting. And so the radio was always an interest of mine and something that I thought was really cool. I never considered it as a career, ever. It was something that I thought was further on. You know, I liked history. I always thought, I'm going to go into history. Radio was just something that was really cool. I remember going to sixth form and then getting involved, there was an extracurricular thing about making a radio show, and I was like, yeah, let's do that. Didn't really help me at all. It was a really, frankly, a waste of time, to be honest. We didn't make a show. We just ended up chilling and talking, and, you know, we ended up getting into a microphone studio, but the show was never made or anything like that. But that was just another thing. But it was that idea of, look, I want to get, you know, radio seems really cool. If I get the chance to be involved in it, I can. And, you know, the singing thing actually did lead me to one of my first times getting involved with a radio station, which was back, I was 14 at the time, and, 10 years ago now, and it was for a scout jamboree, and I auditioned to get, you know, to sing as part of the opening ceremony, and, you know, they selected me, which was great. But when I went to this jamboree, I sang on stage, and it was really cool, but I was part of my scout group there, and that's what I was there for. And I got asked, after I came off stage, do you want to talk to the radio station on the breakfast show tomorrow morning? Yes, of course I do. That sounds really cool. This station was set up by university students at the local university, UEA, Livewire. And it was a pop-up station that they wanted to build. And I was like, yeah, okay, great, let's do it. And, you know, that was it. I got to be on the radio for the first time then. Being interviewed, mind. Not, you know, the other side of the mic or anything, but I just remember the excitement. My God, it's the radio. That's so cool. And yeah, that was probably the first time I really kind of got to be on the radio. But like I said, you know, I didn't do anything. I didn't properly do anything radio related until university. A lot of people that I've met said, oh yeah, I did community radio beforehand. Or yeah, I always knew I wanted to do radio and stuff. Or I did podcasts in my room and I was doing radio in my room. Never me. I just thought it was really cool. And I got the opportunities to interact with it, but never do it until university. And so student radio for me, therefore, has always been such a big inspiration and a real turning point, because it did affect the course of my life. You know, I wanted to go into radio after that. So, yeah, university was probably the first time I properly did it, but before that, not much, which is mental. Some of the highlights of my journey. Oh, gosh. I don't know where to start with highlights. I've done so much. I've kind of mentioned a fair bit already about like the music stuff that I've done, conferences that I went to. You know, it was really cool doing some conference stuff. And at the last student radio conference in Swansea, I was part of the, I was making a podcast and doing podcast recordings. All the recordings got made to the podcast, but I did all the recordings and interviews, and I got contacted. This is how it all connects. And people say, oh, you know, you meet, radio's a small place, and, you know, everyone kind of knows everyone. And this actually turned out to be the case of that. Abby, who was the South Regional officer, she talked to me and said, look, there's someone from Radio X that's got involved, an intern there, Rhiannon. And Rhiannon was someone that I actually made friends with at my first student radio conference, because she also, like me, was the only person from her station there. And so she was like, hey, Danny, you know, look, I'm doing this thing at Radio X, and James Robinson, one of the producers, is doing a talk at conference. We want you to record the talk for us, if you could, so we could use it on the Chris Moyles show. I was like, that's really cool. You know, I get to record that. But I thought, you know, at the time, I kind of thought, well, that's cool, but do you want me to interview him? And I could, you know, try and stitch him up with a few questions that would make it really embarrassing if he heard that back. Nothing too, you know, scandalous, but just embarrassing if all of a sudden Chris Moyles is playing this out, you know, it'd be kind of embarrassing. She was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do that. So I, you know, met up with James Robinson and at this talk, and I said, can I, you know, just want to make sure I can interview after the talk, if that's all right. And said, yeah, of course, you know, for podcasting and stuff. I was like, yeah. We had a chat beforehand, and, you know, we had a really good chat, and several times he kind of looked and went, the mic's not on, is it? I was like, no, it's not on, don't worry, which it wasn't, you know. I had my questions set, but we had some really good chat, and then we were like, right, let's do this podcast. And I just recorded it, and I asked, you know, questions that would be practical for, you know, a student radio podcast for people doing student radio listening back, you know, questions like, what's it like working with Chris Moyles, you know, as this big thing? You know, what's the most embarrassing thing that Chris has ever done to you? And, you know, what's the most embarrassing thing that's happened? And so, you know, he answered all of this stuff, and it was really quite amusing anyway to listen to. It just makes it more amusing when I sent that off to Radio X, and then the next morning, there it is being played out on Radio X, and there's my interview with him and my voice being played out on the Chris Moyles show. And that was surreal. It was then made into a clip and put on their Facebook profile, and became like one of the biggest, like most viewed and most liked, most commented videos in weeks as well, which was really cool. Basically just stitching James up. And as a result, I kind of, you know, met James and knew James, and, you know, I see him around at Global now and I'm like, hey, mate. And he's like, oh, hey, buddy. So that's, you know, that was a real highlight for me, I guess. But yeah, I've kind of mentioned a lot of like highlights already throughout the past, so they're the ones that kind of stick out. But it's just crazy how, like I say, you know, you meet the people you meet and stuff. Victoria, who I did my show with, you know, Sound Radio is a tiny station. We don't really have much of an alumni. We have a person who does the breakfast show at Fire. Fire Radio in Bournemouth. She was part of the original Sound Radio setup. But then, you know, not other than that, but then both me and Victoria have gone on to radio. Victoria more successfully, as she's now a presenter at Q Radio in Belfast. And she's part of, you know, weekly doing shows at the evening shifts at Q Radio. And that's amazing. And, you know, she, like me, just started out doing student radio, and she's now a presenter, which is amazing. You know, I've got other friends that have kind of gone on to do bits, and, you know, that it's really cool just seeing friends of yours that you've met through student radio that you just met as friends, and just doing, you know, going to talks and stuff, now going off to do radio in the big wide world. And that's really cool. There's been so many highlights, and student radio has been life-changing. I can't kind of stress that enough about how cool it's been. And I'm excited to see what happens next with student radio and, you know, see where I go with it as well. I've got a lot to thank it for, which is really cool. The whole thing was a highlight, if I was going to be too cliche about it. You know, there was also the highlights of, like, winning awards and stuff, and I don't know how I managed to forget this, but, you know, we did student radio chart show. The first time we ever did it, there was me, Eloise and Kieran sat in a studio, really hot day, doing this chart show. And we just, you know, cracked this out, planned it up, and we won silver for best chart show at the SRAs, which is the first time we ever did it, which was so, so cool. And that was presenting and kind of overseeing producing that with Kieran. And then the following year, winning Most Improved Station, that was big. I'd arguably say it was the bigger achievement for me personally, as the chart show was like really cool and exciting, but hey, it wasn't gold. I shouldn't say that. Silver was really impressive still, and I'm so, so proud of that. But the most improved station was really a key thing for me as kind of head of the media and, you know, helping with the radio station there with my team, you know, Rosie, Kieran, Eloise throughout the year as well. It was just, it was, and Liv, of course, you know, it was such a really nice award to win. And it kind of, it's probably the one I am most proud of, simply because it kind of highlighted the amount of work and effort that we put into it. And I look back at like what Sound Radio was to what I left it as. And, you know, like I said, Sound Radio when I started was this tiny little studio, bit, you know, messy and not very appealing, and you know, you just go in and do your show. And I left it, we'd moved studio, albeit can't really call it a studio, it was just the room where the SU put their microwave beforehand, but we took it over and put some soundproofing up and made it a bit more spacious, a bit more light. Very hot in there, you know, air, no kind of air conditioning, which was always fun, but you know, and this is a station now that has playlists, that has music opportunities for people, that has such a community feel about it as well, where everyone gets on with each other, and producers and shows, and it's just, it's a different beast compared to what it was when I started, and that's really cool to see. So yeah, I guess that rounds off the highlights. Well, I had a lot of personal highlights. I think the thing that I really enjoyed seeing over the time, specifically with student radio, was the growth of the station. Long may it continue. Hopefully, you know, Sound Radio will be, will, you know, go on and be successful. And yeah, I'm kind of buzzing to see where it goes with it. So finally, I guess, okay, advice. If I was to give advice to someone, it would be don't pigeonhole yourself. Don't think that the be-all and end-all is to go into, you know, presenting or producing or something, because just let life throw, you know, life throws you curveballs anyway. Let it, allow it, and just play off it, you know? You might end up in a place that you didn't think you were going to end up in, but you'll still find it so much more enjoyable and so, you know, exciting. And that's what student radio can do. I didn't start doing, you know, I didn't go into student radio thinking I want a job in radio. A lot of friends of mine, and a lot of people in the SRA didn't. A really good friend of mine, Danny Humby, who's now the South Regional Officer, you know, he's kind of turned around and said, look, I didn't want to go into radio at all. And he still says now, you know, I'm not sure if I do, but doing student radio is really fun, and it's really enjoyable. And that's what student radio should be about. It's about having fun, having these opportunities to grow and learn. And if it does end up meaning that you go into a career in it, then great. If not, then at least you had fun doing it. And I guess it goes back to, you know, what me wanting to get involved in the SRA. I was never about, you know, training people to go into the industry. It was about those opportunities, making sure that you're learning to be the best that you can whilst doing student radio. And so if you're looking into going into radio, great. You're a step ahead of already when I was when I started student radio. Just have fun. Genuinely, just have fun doing student radio. But take every opportunity you can. Learn from everyone you can, and oh gosh, just follow up every lead and every little bit of, you know, advice. If someone offers to you to come into the station, take it. You get to meet people, you get to see things. You know, don't be afraid to email people and chase people for stuff. It's, you know, if you get the opportunity, take it. And just don't be afraid to put yourself out there and meet people. Radio, as much as you need the talent to kind of, you know, with whatever you do, you need to be good at what you do. But it is very much about who you know, rather than what you know, at times. You could have all the talent in the world, but if you don't know the right people, you're never going to meet the right people to give you that job. You know, if you need to, you know, be able to just put yourself out there, talk to the right people, talk to, you know, go to SRA events, go to networking events, and just talk to heads and say, look, hey, I've got a demo. I'd love for you to hear it and just give me some feedback. You know, it's never about giving demos out. It's never about, hi, give me a job. It's always about, give me feedback. I want to be better. And they might give you a job off that. You know, that's what, you know, if you wanted to be a presenter, that's the approach to take it. If you want to be a producer, it is simply about trying to get into the studio in the first place and just getting into the building and talking to the people, shadowing, and then being there to say, hey, I can do this, I can do that. They'll pick, you know, then all of a sudden a job will come along and you'll say, you know, you'll apply for it and you can say, yeah, I did this, that, and the other one, I was shadowing here. It's a lot of unpaid work, which is not great, but it's more about the experience of doing that. I wouldn't say look for unpaid internships because that's just taking, you know, not paying you for work you're actually doing. It's more about shadowing. It's more about getting the experience of just, you know, a few days, a week or so of just doing it and then trying to get you back to do some shift work. And that's how it started from everyone that I've seen go into production has kind of done that. They've not, you know, it's not been about unpaid internships and gone. It's been, yeah, I just did a couple of shifts and then they wanted me back because I kept doing it and working hard. So if you want to be a presenter, send your demo out, ask for feedback, take on the feedback and make yourself better and just practice. If you want to be a producer, be willing to work hard and, you know, give every effort, every opportunity, the most effort you can. And then if you want to get into sales, I don't know, get into sales. You know, I found a recruiter and I said, look, I just want to work in radio. You know, I want to go into sales at the moment. That's where I saw myself. I'd done bar work and everything. And I said, look, I want to go into the media industry. I want to go into radio specifically. And I want to work in sales and radio because that's where I see myself starting out. There's money to be made. There's an industry I can get involved with, and I can learn about how commercial radio stations make their money, which is what that station is all about. Commercial radio needs advertising to live in any way, shape or form. So to learn that side of the business was really cool. If I could make money doing it as well, great. So that's how I did. I just went through a recruiter with a decent CV. But yeah, not everyone would want to go into sales like I have. So that's a weird tangent, but it is, you know, at the end of the day, it's about working hard. It's about proving yourself, and it's about improving as a person, improving your skills and practicing. And it's, you know, people say, oh, you know, it shouldn't be unpaid work and stuff like that, which I completely agree with. You shouldn't work for people without getting paid. But that doesn't mean you should not put in time yourself and improve your skills on your own time, because that's the only way that you'll be able to get better. So do projects, do bits when you're on your own, and meet people, and best of luck.
Thank you, Danny, for sharing your radio journey. It's been great to hear about what you've achieved, and I'm sure all of us at Sound Radio are grateful for the contributions you have made to help the society progress. Stay tuned for more student radio stories to come. Bye, everyone!